Now boarding for Rebuild of Joycast, your weekly destination for anime, manga, and more.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to Joycast. Basically, the patient zero of voice actors getting into rock climbing, apparently. Because now, Val, you are into rock climbing.
I am. I'm going in like a few hours. I'm looking forward to it. It's really fun.
It's funny because me and Stina were like super into this like 2 years ago, and then just this the beginning of this year, every voice actor we know is now getting into rock climbing. Well, I say everyone, but we still haven't gotten Cody Rock into it, which we will. The man's name literally has a rock in it. He needs to get into bouldering at least.
Leave him to the axe throwing. That seems to be his bag.
When he gets here in spring, we're gonna take him and we're gonna convert him. But yeah, we're schmoving fast today, folks, because I mean, one, we're not talking about Chainsaw Man for real this time. We're not, and One Piece is on break, so all we have to talk about is My Hero Academia, which, at the time recording, we're recording early because Val's got rock climbing to do, because that's very important. He's got your health is important as a voice actor, as we just said. Also, I'm very busy. It's not been a secret on Patreon that I am working on Kaiju Number 8 Abridged, and I've got a recording session coming up very quickly that I gotta be in. So all we really have, because we're recording early, we don't have our usual scanalation on us for My Hero Academia, but the spoilers are out, and they're very important to talk about. So, this is a dedicated thing we're gonna talk about, but before then,
we will correct ourselves next week if we're fucking wrong.
Yeah, but there's other news ahead of time that I need to briefly mention. And that is, so because My Hero is very close out the door, and because it's springtime, I told you, oh, My Hero will be done during springtime, because that's when they always shove a bunch of new series. Well, My Hero isn't done yet, so some folks gotta fall on the dagger still, for Nui's Exorcist's sake, because they refuse to kill this fucking thing.
I gotta say, that thing has had longevity. God damn.
Just living on the wings, man. Lots of other guys are just willing to fall on the dagger for it. But yeah.
I'm all for Astro Boy.
Astro Baby. That's on Jump Plus. That has nothing to do with this. But yeah, Astro Baby's awesome. Goated.
No, that's like the only thing right now that I'm like, oh whoa, this is cool.
Yeah. But that being said, so Ruri Dragon was only going to be back on the main magazine for 5 issues. Now it's permanently moving to Jump Plus, where it's going to have a long, prosperous run. That makes me very happy. But because of that,
You know my issue with Ruri Dragon. It is simply the fact that it's like most.
It doesn't belong on Jump.
It's just maddening because like if so many people stumbled at this phase. I understand it was immediately like successful and stuff within 4 fucking chapters, but if other people stumbled with it, they would just immediately get the fucking boot. What makes you so special, bitch?
Because you know what makes Ruri Dragon special is the fact that this thing was on hiatus for 2 years, and its volumes were still outselling people. That's why it was special.
I hate it.
An incomplete volume was outselling people by hundreds of thousands of copies. Like, what the fuck can you do
Fuck? It wasn't.
You can't
that
refuse
interesting.
That man is maddening. They get an 18 chapter fucking deal. He is owed that. He gets that. And yeah, they can say, oh, well, you're not up. You're not in condition to do it anymore. So that's a breach of your contract. They're not going to say that when the man's not working. He's still making the money. They're going to make exceptions for stuff like that.
What about Golem Hearts? Golem Hearts. Baby want Golem Hearts.
I want Golem Hearts too. And that's why I'm pissed because, I don't want to be mean to this new crop. But, so here's the 3 new guys coming. What's our guy? What's his name?
Astro Baby.
No. Who did Golem Hearts?
I'm just gonna fucking look it up straight up.
Yeah, just look it up. But he's also the writer
Gen
of Duran Duran.
Gen Osuga.
Yeah, he did Golem Hearts that we loved, and then Duran Duran, which I fucking hated. So I'm like, this man gets one more strike. I hope he comes back and fucking kills. I hope he pulls a Horikoshi.
By the way,
My Hero Academia has over 100 million copies in circulation. There's only 22 manga that have ever accomplished this feat. Half of those have been running for like 20 to 30 years. So like, what My Hero has accomplished in 10 years, it's fucking special, by the way. So congrats to Horikoshi.
Oh yeah, no, I'm like, all for that. I was gonna say, God, what was it? What was it? I know. It'll come back to me. Read Astro Baby. It's fucking cool. A baby lifts the woman that gave birth to him up by the umbilical cord and slams her into a wall. It's fucking
It starts off like a basic zombie story, but then it just like pops off. It's really slow, and you're like, oh, this would have been really popular during that Walking Dead phase where everyone's into zombies. Like, this would have killed. But then it makes a twist, it jumps and just like completely like leaps into a different genre, and it's really fucking cool. When I get more time, I want to actively read it.
No, yeah, same. I read like 3 chapters, I believe, and I was like, okay, I'm gonna.
Oh yeah, but wait, I need to stay on task here. So Yuri Dragon's moving, Mama Yu Yu, not surprised. People are really pissed about Mama Yu Yu getting fucking axed. I'm sorry, man. It was too slow for Jump. It was too slow for Jump. And when you got Gege and fucking Fujimoto, I made jokes about this where Tom Cruise said that the Flash movie was a revelation. I was like, how much did they fucking pay you, motherfucker? I feel like Gege and them got fucking paid to say this was a revelation. Like, they wanted this to work so badly, and it had a very interesting idea. There was thematically, it was interesting. It was just narratively, it made no fucking sense, and it was slow. So it's like it had to go.
What was Mama Yu Yu about again? If you had to like
Mama Yu Yu was about this world where there is a chosen one. Like they wanted to. This thing was a criticism of chosen one tropes. It was really interesting, where in a world where you are born, there's a demon king and then there's a hero, and the hero has to crush the demon king and end the world. And this is a generational thing. There's always a demon king that's born. This is a world where that war has been ended, and and the demon king still exists, and she raises the current hero, and it's like, oh. Well, this is a world where a hero isn't needed, so, like, we kind of just, like, flounder through life. But then heroes from other dimensions and demons from other dimensions start showing up. And it's like, oh, very interesting concept. But despite all that, very slow, it had to go. But that being said, I would prefer Nui's Exorcist getting the axe above this, obviously. And so that's
literally have no idea what Nui's Exorcist is about.
It's a fucking harem anime. It's exorcism. Fuck, it's a battle exorcism shonen. You've read one, you've read them all. And so now we have... And so the third axe has not been confirmed, but people are saying highly likely that it's 2 on ice. And that is a huge fucking loss. I think if they give Nui's Exorcist all these fucking passes, I think they gotta give it to 2 on ice. Because I had this conversation with Stina. Stina is very much under the impression, I agree with her, that we are on the fucking precipice of a full-on shoujo takeover. Because right now, all these shonen titles are not sticking. They don't stick around long enough. We don't have any material for new anime because of the way the anime industry is going right now, where they have to adapt everything at all fucking times. They're running out of fucking shonen to do because they're not fucking sticking around long enough because nothing sticks. They're doing the same shit over and over, and it's pissing people the fuck off. They're not tracking anymore. Whereas you get stuff like Blue Box, that's definitely playing with the shoujo market, very well, and that's gonna get adaptation soon.
Is Blue Box
and there's all these old shoujo that are getting animated adaptations right now for a lack of material, because we have to keep making anime. We can't just stop. What do we have left? Oh, we have all this shoujo material. And speaking of which, like I said, this past season, there was some incredible shit, namely Signs of Affection. Shoujo's fucking killing it right now. And I feel like shonen, these, they're not perfectly shoujo, but they're very shoujo inspired. I think it's a bad move on shonen's part if they kill 2 on Ice. Because I have not had the time to read it, but the way that it's been reported to me by Stina and other sources, this thing is fucking special. And the fact that it's not it's always been on the board. Like, it's been in the same position that Nui's Exorcist has been in. And it's like, hey, if you let someone take the axe for you, you'll get some time to get some traction and build at least a minimal audience. And I feel like 2 on Ice should be owed that based on how well shit like Blue Box and Witch Watch does for the Shonen Jump magazine. And I think in a long-term move, I feel like these shoujo-inspired titles are going to do a lot better for shonen in the long run. These are going to be better material to... Again, if you're going to force My Hero Academia to be a phenomenon, look where My Hero is right now. That shit was forced into what it is today. And it now has 100 million copies in circulation.
What do you mean forced? It was just...
The marketing pushed it so fucking hard. The anime got a ridiculous... Watch the first 13 episodes of My Hero Academia compared to the rest of the series. They got, like, an infusion of budget. It was crazy. They wanted that to work. As you would say, Val, they wanted the next Naruto, and they fucking got it.
Yeah, they did. I mean, they invested into it. It didn't have anything to do with marketing for me when I first
Because, again, we talk about metas. About metas and certain tropes. Right now, we are in the era of the fucking the supernatural battle shonen. Everything's exorcism battle, and it's not tracking anymore. And shonen's like, keep doing it. Something will stick, and nothing is sticking. Shadow Eliminators. I'm surprised that's not the one getting the fucking. I'm assuming the only reason it's not getting the axe because it's not 18 chapters yet. Because they still owe them 18 chapters. The minute that thing hits 18, that thing's out the fucking door. We fucking know it. Nothing is sticking, but when My Hero was coming out, that's when they were trying to push the superhero meta. And the funny thing is, it never stuck. My Hero stuck, but nothing else did. One Punch Man kind of did, but like they never reinvested into the anime. But My Hero, they kept infusing into it until it just like dug its roots in as a traditional shonen. It didn't stick because superheroes were popular. My Hero stuck in because... something about the classic shonen formula was always tried and tested, and there was enough there to stick around. But here, shoujo is this very fresh, it's not that shoujo's always been around, but in the popular sense, in the popular media sense, there's a lot of fresh ideas and a lot of fresh feelings there to be explored that makes it still feel fresh to shonen trash like us who have seen fucking everything under the traditional boat. And again, that's why I feel like you should give To an Ice just a few more months. Give it another 18, man. And just see where it goes. I feel like it's better to invest in that right now than let's make another exorcism. So this is what I'm going to talk to you right now. Is what we're being shown here with the new three confirmed series. We have Nagai no Astro by Ken Wakui. That's the creator of Tokyo Revengers. So this is a guy who's a proven success. So I'm not worried about what he's got going on, but the fact that all of these new series are described as supernatural makes me fucking concerned. Because supernatural is just a stone's thrown away from exorcism and shit. Otherwise, we have Kyokuto Necromance.
The Japanese have always been more interested in appealing to their home market, and
I understand that. But I will never get over that shareholders meeting that went fucking viral, that went public, where they talked about how they're actually taking the Western market seriously. They want overnight successes, and that's why things like Kagurabachi that you think wouldn't work out, we joke about its synopses, and then it takes the fuck off, because, oh, they're not doing exorcisms! This is actually kind of fucking fresh and new! Let's go! So next on the list is Kyokokotu Necromance. We don't have... Necromancy. We don't have a synopsis yet, but it's Fusai Naba, the creator of Aliens Area, and that was from a very dark time for Shonen Jump. This was the beginning of things not working out very well. So, Uga Usuka,
Aliens Area seemed cool.
It seemed cool until you read it, and you're like, oh, this is fucking lame.
But why was it lame?
It was just boring. And the fact that now we have necromancy, I'm like, oh, this guy better not be doing a fucking exorcism battle. I'll be fucking pissed. Because I always want these guys to do better. I always want these guys to improve. Because the guy who did fucking, remember Bone Collection? He did that fucking boxing manga that actually wasn't that bad.
Bone Collection? I honestly just do not read.
Bone Collection was an exorcism battle comedy. So, of course, it didn't do well.
Is
but
that
then he
the
came
one,
back and did
is
boxing.
Is that the one that, like, literally got canceled, like,
really, yeah, it got canceled like before 18 chapters because it was so fucking bad. And man. Then the motherfucker came back and he improved. And so with Fusai Naba here with Aliens Area, I hope he at least improves. But if this is supernatural fantasy and there's necromancy in the fucking title, I'm not holding out much hope. So then the next one, this is probably the most interesting one. We have Psycho Biori by Kobayashi Omosuke. This is a guy, this is the rookie in the bunch. This guy is brand new, he's never had a mainline series before. This seems to be based on a one-shot. Again, these one-shots are very hard to get come by, but apparently it was very well-received. People were fighting on broomsticks. So this one, he doesn't say supernatural, he calls it just a hard fantasy. So, we'll fucking see, man. We'll fucking see, but... I just wanted to briefly mention those just because of, like I said, I feel like with Blue Box and Witch Watch doing so well, I feel like Jump needs to give stuff like Two on Ice a chance. I feel like throw, if it isn't already at, if it's at 18 chapters already, we gotta get rid of Shadow. We need to eliminate Shadow Eliminators. I'm sorry. We're tired of this exorcism shit. Mm-hmm. And I'm tired of New Exorcist getting all these fucking second chances it doesn't deserve. Because, again, if they're taking the Western market seriously, nobody in the West is reading New Exorcist. No fucking way. I hear nothing about it. This is like an elusive samurai situation where, as you say, they definitely give favoritism to the Japanese market, as they should. But I will never get over that public shareholder meeting where they've taken the West very seriously, and things like Kagurabachi are proof of that, where the Western market they are listening to.
I don't think they should take the West that seriously. I really would just prefer more Japanese stories. I prefer the Japanese sensibility of storytelling. If they want to,
yes, no, I agree. No, I agree. Now, I'm tired of catering to the meta, the tropes of exorcism. This is tired. It needs to be put to bed.
It is, yeah.
Because that might be popping shit, but if you want to take the Western, I'm not talking about Western storytelling sensibilities. I'm just talking about listen to Western feedback. Exorcism's not doing well. It's not existent in the minds of the West other than Jujutsu Kaisen. But guess what? Jujutsu Kaisen's out the fucking door. It's in its fucking last act right now.
Mm-hmm. Oh god, it kind of sucks. I'm not enjoying the manga right now.
JJK.
Yeah, it's just.
I heard it's frustrating a lot of people right now.
It is just like, basically the entire thing right now is just like the sorcerers are just throwing people like fodder at the main bad guy, and it's just getting to a point where it's like, but it's okay because we have one more person up our sleeve. Don't worry, we got at least two more people before things are actually get. It's the issue like with Naruto where the author just does not know how to kill this motherfucker in a satisfying way, I think. So he's like, but the guy who makes JJK is like, no, I'm literally going to kill every character I've ever had.
Well, here's my take, because I don't actively read this series, so I don't want to talk out of my ass on it. But I do want to talk about what I've experienced so far with Gege.
Mm.
It's the fact that Gege is like, he's a victim of his own efficiency right now. This guy, he only uses characters up to the extent that they are useful, that they serve the story. He doesn't drag these fuckers around very long. Like, when they're done, he fucking kills them. He goes, I don't want them on the table anymore. He wipes the table clean. He goes, okay, you've served your purpose. You're out. It's like an opposite end of the spectrum for... It's character efficiency to a very robotic, like, ruthless degree. Where it's like, there you get characters like... writers like Hiromi, who does Full Metal Alchemist, where... She makes all these characters, and she will go to the ends of the earth to make sure that any character that she put on paper has a purpose forever in perpetuity. Whereas you get a guy like Gege who goes, I'm not going to make a character stuck around and turn to shit. Once they are awesome and they are fulfilled, they're fucking out. Bye. Hmm. I'm not going to ruin this character. I'd rather this character die than ruin them. And it's like, that's valiant. That's noble. But as you were describing right now, it's also frustrating that he's just clearing this block and there's like there's very little material left to work with, and people are just getting frustrated.
Yeah, like I don't really know what's going on with it right now. Like I'm reading it, but I'm just like, what is this all leading up to at the end? Is it really going to be the defeat of this guy, or is there another part of this you want to
explore? Is there a secret satanic figure in the background? Like, yeah, like what's the end goal here? I don't know. I haven't actually read the series, so I can't judge it. But yeah, you seem to be questioning the fact that for all our gripes with My Hero Academia, we know that All for One has been presented as the overarching evil, systemic evil, even though I personally don't believe that. I believe that there are other issues that Horikoshi's editors in the long run have been afraid to address, so we just make a satanic figure like All for One to be the whipping boy of all these issues, a physical thing to punch at the end and go, okay, everything's solved. Regardless of my gripes with that, at least we know what our end goal here is with My Hero Academia. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're about to speak on as we describe this next chapter, 419, where it's All for One is the end. If we can get rid of this motherfucker, the story is over. Whereas you seem to be like, we have Sukuna here in JJK, and yet it feels like if we kill Sukuna, how does this feel satisfying narratively? Like, what happens next? What happens now? How do we feel as care? Like, what does this do for Itadori's Itadori's development? What does this mean for him that Sukuna is dead?
You reminded me of that.
And Mr. Host could probably tell us this, but he doesn't have the microphone right now because we're cowards and we drive the train while he's at work.
You reminded me of that fucking tweet I sent you last night. And I don't know why, it just tickles me pink for some reason. This is chapter 419 of My
Hero Academia. Oh, okay, yeah. So let's go to 419 of My Hero Academia now. And this is, okay.
Oh, yeah, the cover of this week's Shonen Jump, I guess, is The Biggest Lie.
Just for the it looks like Deku and Shigaraki are teaming up together, and that's a complete fucking lie.
But the complete fucking lie is Deku having his fucking arms.
That's true.
We know. Okay. Everyone knows it by now. We all know.
Yeah, but we had to do this quick because, again, so I got my voice actors bugging me for Kaiju number 8, but we're bearing the lead. So this is what pissed me off this week is on a fucking Monday, or is it Monday or Tuesday, I get shown the image of Deku with his arms fucking off. And I'm like, there's no fucking way that's got to be made up. There's no fucking way that Horikoshi would do something so, like, ironically fucking awesome. I can't see this happening. But go fucking figure it was real. I'm not upset at him. I'm upset that this was leaked to me. I wish I could have experienced this while reading it, because it's a hell of a fucking reveal that Deku's arms are blown off. And why I say this is ironic is the fact that Deku, and he flashes back to it. This is the context I didn't get until I got the chapter today, is that Deku was told by his doctor that if he does another fucking smash, his arms are gonna get fucking blown off. He's gonna lose the use of his arms. And then you and I got frustrated with this during the Dark Deku arc, where the motherfucker's still smashing people, and his arms are just fine.
Mm.
And we use, oh, he's got a special kind of brace now. It's like, bullshit, where's the consequence? And the fact that Deku, I'm saying Senku because I was doing commentary for Dr. Stone Abridged today, so that's why his name is in my brain, rattling in there. Deku loses his arms showing empathy for helping another villain. That's how he loses his fucking arms? That is fucking incredible. That is fucking incredible. And the fact that we have this incredible moment, and what does that amount to? The fact that Shigaraki, he's clearly not actually dead, but the fact that he is in this moment dead. All for One is alive again in his conscience. Somehow Palpatine has returned. Somehow All for One, again, Horikoshi's watching the Abridged series. He's going, oh yeah, there's always an All for One that exists in Shigaraki's mind no matter what. And even though that All for One, the physical man, is dead, the idea is alive and has now taken over, has killed Shigaraki internally, and now taken over his body. We have gotten part 5 of the All for One fight. I am sick of this, man. I'm back on it again, Val. Yeah, it was funny how evil he was, but the fact that this fight is cyclically going to go on forever, that All for One's going to die, Shigaraki is going to retake over, then Shigaraki will die, and then All for One will take over again. I am so over this. I am sick of this. I am sick of this.
But
what
Ivan,
the fuck are we doing?
Zero, the president's here.
Yes, again, because Horikoshi watches. I am not shitting you that he watches the Abridged series. Because he's like, okay, we need to give. He literally put Zero, Ojiro, and Sato on the screen. Like, he's got the fucking, he literally put Zero's guys in the Abridged series on the screen together. This is fucked up. He put the SOS squad together. This is fucked up, man.
He's giving me material.
Bones is giving me material with the new movie, with the evil All Might. And then we got this. This is they are feeding it. Like, this is why I'm such a brat and I'm not allowed to actually be angry, because they are just feeding the Abridged series right now. But that being said, how many times are we gonna get a gotcha on All for One? I am sick of this shit. I am over this. And the only reason was, I'm not over it because I'm a whiny brat. I'm over it
because Horikoshi
is sick right now. Horikoshi is not well right now. and he's pulling this shit. He's got to wrap this up for his sake. I don't like, I'm not the kind of guy. I was having this conversation with Steen the other night because she's like, because we're looking for like Oscar movies to watch. We have this little movie watch club with our buddies behind the scenes, and we're just watching Oscar nominees, and The Revenant keeps coming up. This is the one where Leonardo DiCaprio finally won his first Oscar because he covered himself in shit, got mauled by a bear, and starved himself. And the fact that we don't value art, we value suffering. And I don't like that. I don't like Horikoshi suffering for art. I don't think it's valiant. I don't think it's cool. I want him to finish this series. I'm tired. This makes me sick to my stomach when I'm watching this. And I know how talented he is. And I see the talent and I go, yeah, this is another hour he was supposed to sleep tonight that he didn't get. He clearly didn't eat drawing.
Val cracks the whip. Get back to drawing, Horikoshi. I want to see what happens next.
I can't do this shit. I literally cannot. I'm tired of this.
I am genuinely invested in kind and pretty much enjoying this. I knew it would fucking happen. All I'm wondering now though is why the fuck is All For One still going around with his busted ass tumor growth face and shit?
That mask
when
is cool.
Clearly,
I love that.
I like the mask too, but it's like when clearly he can disguise himself as some big nosed gentleman or I don't know, some fucking random dude that will.
Yeah, you're bearing the lead here, so this is the full confirmation that basically.
No, it's not just that. All For One convinced.
Yeah, he's a drinking buddy.
And he convinced Shigaraki's father to have another baby.
Yeah, so you're okay, because this is the kid I want. Because he specifically.
No, it was his daughter. He was talking about his daughter.
Yeah, he wanted to give it to the daughter, but she was already too old to handle it. Like he couldn't hide it in her because she, like her quirk had already like manifested or whatever. It's like, okay, I can't hide this shit.
See,
so
I read the translation. The translation said she's too old for him to handle, and I was like, what? Like
yeah,
she's not.
Yeah, okay,
she's not.
Like,
I get it. She's not malleable enough. He can't like you know fucking.
It's not just that, but spoiler translate. We'll get more context for this when we get proper translations. What has happened is the fact that she's too old. She's already got kind of like basically her formative, her critical period has passed. She can't be manipulated the same way a fresh vessel could, but also the fact that he can't hide the quirk. Her quirk has manifested. He has to find a child that doesn't have a quirk yet so he can sneak that on. Basically, the way that the translations say is he found a person with the creation and disintegration quirk, split it up. So Aerie is still very much viable right now. We have a creation and disintegration quirk that he has divided, given to Shigaraki. Shigaraki had another quirk. He traded it with disintegration, is what he did.
Hmm.
So, yeah, like, our full-on confirmation of how he did this. He convinced Kotaro to have another kid and then implanted that quirk into that child. And so it's been planned from the beginning, and for some fucking reason that the internal All For One, despite how tirelessly he fought to meet up with his physical body and merge, it didn't matter. There was always an All For One in there, which I'm like, oh my god, come on, man.
Hmm. I too am sick of like knowing what is going to come, but I'm just enjoying the ride at this stage. We're at the end. We're 10 years
No. I'm enjoying
the
ride too. Like I said, as I said in previous weeks, I trust Horikoshi. I'm letting him cook. I'm just tired of him going in circles just to suffer.
We got a fucking golden snitch flying around in the fucking panel as well.
Yeah,
actually.
I noticed that too. That was really weird. But if Horikoshi was healthy, like if he was like flexing his muscles in front of the camera, I'm like, oh my god, I'm in the prime of my life. I feel so good. My man can cook as long as he wants. But the problem is that this man has had too many unplanned hiatuses and hospital stays, and I'm tired of that. I don't want that.
I trust that he is going to very much enjoy his time off once this is all done.
Kenny, like, will he not be in the same situation as Hunter x Hunter's fucking mangaka, where he can't, like, sit properly anymore?
Hopefully he's not going to that stage or anything like that.
I do not know. That's the reason why I don't want him in that state.
What is he ill with right now? Like, what's wrong? Is it just, like,
they will never reveal. Anything I've heard is purely a rumor.
Hmm.
But what can't be hidden is the fact that the man every time he's on break, the man is in the hospital. They can't hide that.
Hmm.
So I don't like that.
No, I don't either, really. But it's just like, well, he doesn't want to stop, clearly. I'm sure they would let him.
Because the man's a dog. The man's got that dog in him. He's just like Deku, dude. I get that.
Yeah, it's just one of those things. I can't... There's only so much I can be like, stop doing this to yourself. And it's like, well, he clearly fucking wants to.
Right. But there's one more thing we need to mention before we go, and that's at the very end. We get our next, you know, gotcha stinger that, okay, we're not getting that tearful finale of Aizawa and Mike crying over Kurugiri's corpse. No, he's coming back for the finale.
Yeah. Here he is. Also, Eri is probably going to bring back Deku's arms. I would love for Deku to get, like, prosthetic, like, automail arms or some shit and be, like, everything that Jack
it will happen eventually,
be.
But, you know, that's like what everyone's debating online right now, where it's like, yeah, Eri doesn't have enough energy, and so, like, she won't be this mass reset button, but in time, she could totally do this. She's just got to build up that energy, so, like, in time. This will not be a snap of the fingers fix.
Eri is like that Philosopher's Stone at the end of Fullmetal Alchemist Brotherhood, which in my opinion actually does, like, I love Fullmetal Alchemist, as you know, it's one of my favorites, but I think the whole thing with Dr. Marco being like, I have this Philosopher's Stone and I'm going to make your sacrifices irrelevant. Mustang, you get your eyes back. Havoc, you get your fucking legs back. Yeah! And I was kind of like, ah, okay. I think Eri... It's gonna be like flash forward, epilogue. Eri's a teenager. Deku, I can finally control my power, and gives him back his fucking arms. And then it's
I can see that coming. For me, it's like I feel like there should have been a little bit more of a cost effect. I did that thing in the Abridged series with Recovery Girl, because before that we knew of Eri, I had Recovery Girl resurrecting people, being a reset button. But I made the joke the fact that she was like 30 years old and like it was just like literally killing her life force.
Mm.
To do this, and I feel like we should have had a little bit more of a cost effect to Eri's power. This, he has the fact that she can't control it yet, and she has to build a lot of energy. I feel like there should have been a little bit more of a pain factor beyond the abuse she suffered, but the fact that the quirk actually, like, sucked her life force a bit. Like, the fact that if she does too much at one time, it really harms her. All he needed was just a little bit, he needed to cook just a little bit longer on Eri for us to fully accept
her existence is already sad.
The fact that she's not a consequence-free button.
I get that, but I mean,
because right now she's consequence-free in time, is what she is.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. I think Horikoshi probably said, yeah, I can't let her entire life be absolute dog shit. I don't want her to be in pain just for, like, you know, doing good and shit. But, you know, I guess that's just the way it is. I suppose we'll see what he does at the end of it.
Yeah.
But that being said, we do got
to wrap early today.
Yeah. Okay.
I said we could give these guys 30 minutes this week because we're both very busy. We gotta run. But was there any last thoughts?
No, All For One succeeding in being probably the most evil piece of shit. I didn't think it would go as far back as, like, no, you're literally
born. We already
born.
Guessed this. Like, this, at this point, he's, like, physically saying, but, like, wordlessly, it was already told. Like, we already, like, had the subtext to understand this. We didn't need verbal confirmation. But then again, it is Young Man Magazine at the end of the day, so, yes, verbal confirmation will be required, but yeah, like, this man isn't any more evil. I think he's shaving points now, because now I'm like, okay, why were you so bad, other than the fact that it was your physical self you wanted to be there? I get that part, that existential crisis you're about to face, but the fact of the matter was, All For One, it makes the fight, it really undercuts Bakugo's fight more than him fighting a baby already did.
Look, I'll say again, Bakugo had, like, zero setup for anything. There was no foreshadowing. Plus, Bakugo didn't get a little baby man moment with his villain. We didn't get Bakugo and All For One baby, like, you know, baby Bakugo and baby All For One, like, floating in the air or anything, because God, Horikoshi loves that. That's the kind of thing.
Well, they were fighting in the Mindscape. Yeah, I know. Oh, I know what you mean, because that happens to Ochako and Toga, right?
Yeah.
And I think it happened to Todoroki and Dobby too, right?
I think it does relate to, like, what I said at one point, where it's like, look, as someone who's got into fights and everything, one thing that holds you back is, like, I look at someone, I'm like, you were a baby once.
This is a theme. This is about the inner child and the
no one is born evil.
It's a product of environment. Like, why? How did this child get failed? Like, it's one of his best things he does. And yeah, people were mentioning that earlier when Deku was flying across the screen with Shigaraki in a previous chapter or two, and it's like, yeah, that's been great. So you were right. Bakugo was denied this, I think.
Yeah, he didn't have anything to do with All For One, really.
They've crossed paths. Try to recruit him during the Kamino accident, but you're correct. Bakugo doesn't quite have the foil that Ochako, Todoroki,
everything,
or Midoriya did.
Bakugo's arc ended at his death. That was like the best Bakugo moment.
It was. And then he gets his one big card. His victory lap.
Yeah, he got his victory lap, and it's nice and all, but it's like, Bakugo's, he's probably gonna come back. He's probably gonna come back and be like, oh, I've gotta stomp you into the ground again.
There was two more popularity polls by that time. He had to. Because that's another thing that happened, was that the popularity polls came out, and they're not surprising. You've got, I think it was Bakugo, Deku, Todoroki, Dabi at 4, which is huge, but not surprising. Given that in the span of this time, he had his arc. But then you get, Shoji, the tentacle at 10, huge. But that Mutant Rebellion arc did a lot of service for
good
him.
Shit. No, Mutant Rebellion was awesome. It really
Endeavor was. Endeavor at 6, which was awesome. But the thing that surprises me, but doesn't surprise me, is Kirishima at 7. Kirishima got to do a big, defense block, which was, again, a testament to his character. The fact that he's got a cute design, but he's never been a flashy guy, and that's something he's always struggled with. And so, obviously, his big final moment wouldn't be that flashy. But narratively, what has Kirishima really been relevant for besides the overhaul arc? Remember that fight, the spear and shield fight?
Yeah.
He hasn't been, that fully relevant in a long-ass time. What's he doing in the top 7 spot, man? Come on.
I think people
that's copium.
They just like him because he's cool.
He's just a cool guy. People like him, but I think Kirishima stands a testament to his fans are that strong. But they gotta be on major copium if he was still at 7 and Shoji just broke in. Belongs at 7, considering what his story amounted to at the end.
Who are your legit top 5 Class 1A characters? Just Class 1A. Because a lot of them...
I'm gonna list a Class 1A right now.
Class 1. I got it right here. There's Aoyama, Mina, Shido, Tsuyu, Ida.
I'm gonna be objective here, based on how this story actually fucking worked out. I think Bakugo, Midoriya, and Todoroki being the top 3 is completely fair.
Yeah.
I think that makes perfect sense, whether I agree with it or not. I think that's fair how the story went. So you said top 10?
Top five.
Okay, top 5. Considering how the story played out, we'll put Ochako number 4.
There are 20 students. It does not feel... I'm looking at a list of them right now with their fucking faces. It does not feel like there are 20 characters here.
I know, because they were hardly around. So Ochako at number 4. And then after that, I have a flex. I think 5 is a flex. I'm going to be personal and say that Froppy should be number 5. I think Froppy is... Although Froppy never had a huge story, I think Froppy was always, always around enough to warrant her place. Even if she was, at the end of the day, amounted to just a fun design. She was always a nice little jump. She bounced between Deku and Ochako a lot. She was always jumping teams here. Ochako, I got some things to do with you with you.
Do you remember
and Deku,
a couple
I got some things
ago.
I got things to show you and help you work out your new quirks. She just did enough.
My Hero Academia,
her,
the anime
I would also
came
say
out,
Aoyama.
When the anime came out, everyone fucking loved Froppy. You could not go anywhere without seeing Tsuyu fan art or something like that. I definitely have to say Midoriya, Tenya, probably Denki. I like Aoyama and Mineta. It's got to be Mineta.
Yeah, so you're going by your personal favorites, because if we're going by my personal favorites, I love.
Oh yeah, no, you pretty much hit that.
I love Bakugo, I love Ida, I love Mineta, I love Fumikage. Honestly, my number 5 slot's a flex. I could fairly put Fumikage Tokoyami there, the Birdman, because he's had some incredible moments. He's had some very quietly subtle little story beats about his quirk being very hard to control.
He's basically Venom.
He's got a jokey Venom and his beats that he plays off of Hawks, and then he gets to fight 0-for-1 and does probably the coolest finishing move on all. I feel like his moment got a bit undone by everybody else. He had the cool final attack against 0-for-1, and then everyone else showed up behind him and went, okay, our turn. And it's like, no, you nerds, get out of here.
Jiro and Fumikage, they both kind of had the limelight stolen because suddenly it was all
Jiro is also
kind
of devastating considering that she's clearly Horikoshi's favorite character.
Yeah. I gotta say, I think.
So, I mean, testament to his restraint.
The limelight got kind of stolen from them when literally every hero came in and were just like, yeah, we're gonna throw everything we've got it, and then it still failed. And then we got the cool. God, there was a big gap between that and the All Might fight, actually. Jeez.
Yeah.
This fight has been going on for so fucking long. I hate
it. It's going long, and now we're boring on too long. And so is this podcast. We gotta run right now. Everyone, thank you for joining us. Sorry for the quickie, but this is how the fudge gets made. It's either this or the parodies that you definitely want as well. So we gotta run. We promise hopefully next week we'll have a better showing for you guys. But no, 40. I'm not apologizing. 40 minutes is good. Yeah, y'all got things to do. Springtime. Y'all gonna be outside playing. Because that's what anime fans love to do, is go outside and rock climb. your favorite voice actors do it. You should do it too.
It's a fun time, people. Give it a go.
give rock. That's your assignment. You got 20 extra minutes. Go to a rock climbing gym and take a free ballet lesson. It'll take you 20 minutes and see if you like it or not. Because most rock climbing gyms have that. Until then, everyone, take care. Peace out. Love you.
Good night.
Mind the gap as you exit our podcast safely. Rebuild of Joycast is hosted by Ivan Leroy and Valentine Stokes. Leroy's written and directed works can be found on the Joyride Entertainment YouTube channel. Val's dulcet tones can be heard in many of your favorite anime and web series, such as Ruby, Lackadaisy, Gunbuster, Death Battle, and more. Audio engineering by Stina Carey. Music provided by Lo-Fi Geek. Intro and outro narration by Stina Carey. Outro music composed by Michael Payovich. Logo and visuals designed by Ivan Leroy. Keep the conversation going by visiting Joyride's public Discord server, where you can discuss this week's topics and more. Patreon donors also get access to our weekly anime watch club with cast and crew. Links provided in the description. Rebuild of Joycast is produced by Joyride Entertainment and Rock Voice Productions, LLC, and made possible thanks to Patreon donations from generous listeners like you. Thank you for keeping Joyride's engine burning.